Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and I'm grateful that you're back, because I'm back, and we're on to day 25 in our fourth week and moving into these final days. So let's persevere and continue to be disciplined and steadfast and entering into each and every one of these days, preparing our hearts for this incredible offering to the Lord's merciful love. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 25, the daily darkness. Yesterday we looked at our daily bread of the Mass, our way of entering heaven while still on earth, though in a veiled way. We saw how the Mass is our way of anticipating and participating in the perfect love of God for Himself, and thereby a way to become perfect ourselves. But there's another daily bread, a daily bread we also must share in if we are to live the little way, the bread of daily darkness. Most of us are among the vast majority of humanity who are not famous, not well known, and not held up high on the pedestal of public opinion. In other words, we're probably numbered among the ordinary people. If that describes you, then thank the Lord. It will be much easier for you to live the little way, become one of the greatest saints of all time, and help save the world. More on that tomorrow. But we have to be willing to accept the cross of an ordinary life and eat the bread of daily darkness. Let me explain. Of course, most of us, especially in this social media age, long to be known, well-liked, and praised for being important or attractive. But then, when we have to endure the torture of being quiet and alone in our own rooms, we realize that in the eyes of the world, we're not so important or attractive. I mean, even if we have plenty of accomplishments and beautiful selfies, there will still be that self-accusing ache that creeps in and says, you've not attained a destiny of greatness. You're not important. You're not attractive. You're nothing. To combat this, we may take even more selfies or rush off to accomplish even greater things, to make a name for ourselves, to be somebody. But the ache comes back because we can never do enough to satisfy our craving for greatness and love, and our precious accomplishments and digital images fade away like so much dust and vanity. See Ecclesiastes 1:2. Now, make no mistake, we are all called to be great, very great, beyond our wildest imaginings great. But this greatness is not what's usually thought of as greatness. True greatness isn't based on the judgment and assessment of mortals. Rather, it's based on the judgment of Almighty God, who alone is truly great. And His greatness is revealed in the fact that what most attracts Him are the little souls, the humble, the weak, and the broken. His greatness is shown in how He has scattered the proud in their conceit and has lifted up the lowly. Luke 1:51. And how He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. See James 4:6. And to little souls like us, if we accept it, His greatness is shown in the way that He will give us a share in His own greatness and glory. But remember, the little way is a little way of darkness. So we won't always feel the greatness of God filling our hearts. If we did, we might get puffed up with pride and no longer be little. In fact, most of the time, we probably won't feel it at all. And we'll have to fight to believe that God still loves us. In fact, we may have to fight that depression, discouragement, and even despair. We may have to hope against hope and God's promise of mercy. And that's really the fine point of living the little way. Little souls often live ordinary lives, but they're called to do so with extraordinary faith, hope, and love. Their extraordinary faith and hope is to believe in God's promise of mercy and to hope that He will bring them to the heights of holiness, even if neither they nor anyone else sees it in this life. Their extraordinary love consists in their efforts to keep trying, to keep striving to love God and neighbor in the little things. In fact, their aim is to do little things with great love. Now, in their efforts to live all this hidden and extraordinary faith, hope, and love, little souls are in good company. For instance, back on day 4, we saw that Mary, the Mother of God, had to eat the daily bread of darkness. Think of that. This most blessed among women lived a hidden life in an unknown little town while bearing the same burdens of countless ordinary people. For instance, she cooked meals, changed diapers, and washed laundry. But in the midst of her hidden and ordinary life, she had an extraordinary faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love in the midst of the daily darkness. That was Mary's greatness, and that can be our greatness too. So don't believe the voices of the world that say, you're not important, you're not attractive, you're not successful, you're not anything. With the little way, the Lord will make us immensely important, incredibly attractive, and wildly successful in His eyes. But we'll have to accept that we probably won't see it. We'll have to accept to be in the dark, to live an ordinary life, and to walk by faith. Yes, we'll simply need to embrace the promise that God will clothe us with His own divine love in His own time and in His own manner, even if we have to wait until the very end. To close today's reflection, let's ponder Therese's description of the little way as a way of darkness. Quote, Jesus took me by the hand, and He made me enter a subterranean passage where it is neither cold nor hot, where the sun does not shine, in which the rain or the wind does not visit. A subterranean passage where I see nothing but a half-veiled light, the light which was diffused by the lowered eyes of my fiancé's face. My fiancé says nothing to me. I don't see that we are advancing toward the summit of the mountain, since our journey is being made underground. But it seems to me that we are approaching it without knowing how. End quote. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to live my ordinary life with an extraordinary faith, hope, and love. All right, well, this day 25 calls us to some real self-reflection and maybe some real heart-pondering considerations of whether or not we're willing to really be hidden and to really not give in to, as Father Gately emphasizes, all of the pressures and temptations to stand out, to be noticed, to be great. And this is something that isn't unique to our time. There's always been that temptation to stand out and have attention. Thomas Aquinas, when he talks about the four main deceptions to true happiness, he talks about money, power, pleasure, and fame. And so it's been around for all time and just in our human nature that we would desire these other things. But all of them, money, power, pleasure, and fame, never truly satisfy the deepest desire of our hearts for this infinite love of God or this desire to be known infinitely for who we are, to know and to be known. And so all of those things, they're only means to some other end, whether it's money. It's like, well, what do you do with money? It's like, well, so I can buy this and so I can buy that, so I can have this more influence or have this access to more what? Money, so I can get more things so that I can. It's like, right, power, same thing. Like, power isn't an end in itself. And then I just have all the power. And then I'm really, it's like, no, I just need more power, because when I have all the power, I'm alone and miserable. And then fame too, though. It's like, so everyone knows your name. Everyone is celebrating your accomplishments. And it's like, now what? It's like, well, maybe if I just do another really thing, then they'll love me even more. It's like, no, you already have all of the admiration and celebration. It's like, what's next? It's like, there's no ability to just rest in it. In itself, it is a deception, because it's not an end. It's only a means. And so social media absolutely capitalizes on this. And for the youth growing up to have any access, especially unfiltered access to social media, is just an incredible trap. It's an incredible trap that brings down and exploits all of the insecurities and all the fears and everything else that comes along with coming to discover who one is. That isn't easy, but in the natural process of development, adolescence, to be able to come to know that, to know the truth of who I am through my own, embarrassments and humiliations and failures and everything else, with this stable group of friends, but especially family, and then even more especially faith, that I can come to know that incredible truth of what Pope John Paul II said, that we are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his Son. He said that at World Youth Day in Toronto in 2002. There's a Pope who knows the hearts of youth, that we as youths need to know this, to be able to like just be reminded, you're not the sum of your weaknesses and failures. Like, that is such a temptation, even for us who are not youths anymore, myself included. It's like, it's still a temptation to maybe associate myself with that last embarrassing thing that I said or did, or that last great failure that I think people are talking about or care about. They probably don't, but you know, it's easy to think that the world is all about you. And just to be reminded again, like, who am I? Like, I am a beloved son. I'm a beloved daughter. It's like, my greatness comes from the Father's invitation to be perfect in his Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. So yeah, just like great reminders in that. And so, yeah, how are we with just being hidden, little, and to be able to be found in the Son, as opposed to grasping for anything else in the world? The way of darkness, though, is this real surrender to allowing the Lord to bring about a greatness within us on his own terms. I'd love to emphasize that, on his own terms. That when I completely surrender, abandon myself to him, those ultimate desires that I have for this greatness, and we all have it, that he will satisfy, he will fulfill, he will bring about, how does Father Gately say it, unimaginable greatness, that we haven't even imagined it. I do remember there's the great passage in the gospel where the disciples are arguing over who's the greatest, which is just a ridiculous thing to think about, the disciples arguing over, and then Jesus literally hearing them argue, like, oh my gosh, I'm surrounded by buffoons. But what's amazing is he doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't say like, no, that's not a good desire, that's not a good debate to have. What he corrects them on is that you're not thinking about it right. And you remember what he does? He brings a little child to them. And he says, unless you humble yourself and become like this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's like, Oh, you want to be great? Be like this little child. Accept littleness, accept surrender, accept dependency, accept trust and surrender, poverty in all of its forms, that it's actually in this childlike dependence and trust and love, you can be great. So the Lord does not rebuke our desire for greatness. He wants to transform it and to show us the true capacity. And so to be able to appreciate someone like Mary, who has extraordinary faith, hope, and love. Here's a great line that'd be good for us to highlight and take to our prayer. That was Mary's greatness. Faith, hope, and love in the midst of daily darkness. That's on that third paragraph on page 103. Faith, hope, and love in the midst of the daily darkness. That was Mary's greatness. Huh. I don't think I've ever thought about that before. And she has a lot of greatness. She has a lot of things that we can attribute to her as just absolutely incredible. What she did, who she was, how she responded, her persistence, perseverance. But in the daily darkness, she continued to have extraordinary faith, hope, and love. The other thing, and the last thing that I want to emphasize, is that idea of, he says, in the midst of the darkness, God will bring about a greatness within us, but most likely we will never see it. And this is the true test of littleness. The littleness is such that I'm not looking for what impact I'm having. I'm not overly concerned with how am I affecting others? How am I inspiring? How am I transforming or converting or whatever it is? I'm doing it for the Lord in complete surrender. I'm letting him work through me on his terms. What does that mean? That means in his timing. That means in his ways. That means in the places that he chooses. That means in the circumstances that he ordains and allows. That means in the crosses. That means in the humiliations. That means in the sufferings. That means in everything else that maybe I would be tempted to discredit and say, like, no, Lord, you got to remove this so that we can actually get to work on my children, on my grandchildren. Like, no, Lord, like another obstacle. And maybe the Lord's like, that's not an obstacle. That's literally the means by which I want to bring about their salvation or their conversion. And so that question, right? Like, would we be okay with never seeing any fruits of our complete surrender to the Lord? There are great witnesses of saints out there. Do you know the story of Saint Charbel? Saint Charbel of Lebanon. He was this man who loved the Lord incredibly and left his family at a young age, didn't ask for permission. I don't even think his family were like invited to his solemn profession of these vows that he made to be a hermit. And so he just lived this simple, humble, poor, hidden life as a priest dedicated to God with incredible prayer, incredible fasting. He loved the Eucharist. On Christmas Eve, he died of a stroke while celebrating Mass and died, and that was it. You're like, wow, what a waste. Wrong. It's like his life was so holy that after they started burying him, there was this light that started emanating from his tomb. And then there was this oil that was oozing from his coffin. And everyone was like, what is happening? And his people came and recognized the oil as they venerated it. There started being these miracles and healings. And then all of a sudden, one miracle happened and the word starts spreading. There have been millions of miracles attributed to Saint Charbel and his intercession. Like, talk about a guy who lived completely hidden, even away from his own family. Any possibility of receiving even praise from his own mom. He's like, I just need to live for the Lord. I just need to seek to please him and him alone. And maybe that's too radical, too extreme. I'll give you one more though. The North American martyrs, do you know their story? These incredible Jesuits who come over from, from Spain, Portugal. They come over to the Americas at a time that's it's completely uninhabited except with Native Americans. And they come because there are souls that need saved. And so they come and they come preaching the gospels, and they are just received with great hospitality. Wrong. Great hostility. And they are rejected, refuted, tortured, terrorized in some of the most horrific ways. St. John de Brebeuf and his companions are martyred in ways that are, beyond what I'd like to describe in this podcast. And they die, for all intents and purposes, without a single glimpse, without a single idea that what they did was fruitful at all, made any difference at all. Like, they gave their entire lives. They suffered some of the most horrific sufferings ever known to martyrs. But there was one fruit from the neighboring tribe, and her name was Kateri. And this Kateri was one that was able to hear the gospel through their preaching and was able to receive it, and as the first Native American-born saint. It's like, I don't know, like, was that enough? And what, like, through Kateri and through, like, their witness, their martyrdom, incredible miracles and conversions have taken place. So how about you? How about me? I don't, like, again, those are radical, but how many other stories would we need of just faithful grandparents, faithful parents, faithful friends, who, to be able to entrust our loved ones to the merciful heart of God and say, Lord, they're yours. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Or as the surrender novena says, oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. I surrender my spouse to you, my children to you, my grandchildren to you. Take care of everything. And to really trust that the Lord will take care of everything, and that we don't have to grasp, we don't have to control. We can let go and give Lord room. And maybe we'll never see it this side of heaven, but the Lord, in the greatness of what he calls us to, and by his promises, will be true to them. And blessed are you who believe that the promises made you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to live my ordinary life with an extraordinary faith, hope, and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.